Number 3 Doctrinal Error Example. Initial Evidence Controversy. This next example is somewhat of a continuation of the last one. There is a troubling controversy between certain denominations concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit. Christ told his disciples in the book of John chapter 14, starting in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you for and ever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. Christ revealed to his disciples that even though the Holy Spirit was with them, there was more to be had. They would actually have the Holy Spirit living in them. Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 18 states, Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This passage is not just a suggestion, but it is a directive that all believers should follow. We should seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 19, and starting in verse 1 we find, And it came to pass, that, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coasts came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. This passage demonstrates that a believer is not necessarily filled with the Holy Spirit at the moment of being born again. For these people it was quite a while later. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This passage lets us know that we must ask for the Holy Spirit, and if we do ask for the Holy Spirit, the Almighty is pleased to give him to us. In Acts chapter 1, and verse 8, the Holy Bible says, But you shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We see that the believer is empowered when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the actual record of what happened on the day of Pentecost. Having read these passages, we can see that being filled with the Holy Spirit is a very important and critical matter. Christ went to considerable lengths teaching his disciples this important truth. The record in the book of Acts gives us a good bit of information concerning this. Later in Corinthians, the Almighty gives us more information that helps to accurately guide our understanding on this subject. I have spent time in numerous denominations and know a lot about these matters. Pentecostal groups have so much to offer the body of Christ. They are not afraid to use the spiritual gifts that Almighty God has given to believers. The worship in Pentecostal groups tends to encourage believers to let their worship flow freely and spontaneously to the great Creator, who is most certainly worthy of all praise. These are huge assets to the body of Christ, and Pentecostal denominations could probably lead other denominations to great spiritual heights if they did not violate the Holy Scriptures in misusing these wonderful things. Unfortunately, they, like most other denominations, are out of balance in certain aspects of their ministry. Why is it so difficult to find a denomination that handles the word with balance? We can easily find opposite extremes, but balanced doctrine is a rarity. Take a look with me at an example of what I am talking about. The Church of God forcefully asserts that there is initial evidence that accompanies being filled with the Holy Spirit. This alleged initial evidence, they say, is speaking in tongues. I am sure there are other Pentecostal denominations that hold to this same position, but there are also many denominations that do not hold to this position. Question: Does it really matter? Well, yes, it does matter, because, as we have just seen, the Christian believer receives needed power into their lives when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. But there are many Christian believers who never receive the gift of tongues. Does this mean they have never been filled with the Spirit? This is at the heart of the controversy. If the Church of God is right, then there are many Christians who are falling short of Almighty God's directive to be filled with the Spirit, who are very sad and frustrated by their inability to please the Almighty. If the Church of God is wrong, then there are many people who can be relieved that even though they have not received the gift of tongues, they still may be filled with the Holy Spirit. But what does the Word say? As we discovered in the preceding doctrinal error example, there is a valid gift of tongues. As far as I know, and I have studied the subject quite extensively, nowhere do the Scriptures clearly address the question. Does everyone who is filled with the Holy Spirit manifest an initial evidence of speaking in tongues? The Church of God presumes that there is collateral evidence that implies there is a definite initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Again, let's examine what the Scriptures say. Before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, there were some people who were filled with the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. We find that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. The phrase here, filled with the Holy Ghost, is identical to the one in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, and with identical meaning. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 41 we find, "And it came to pass, that, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, thy babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spoke but with a loud voice, and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For, lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Once again we have an exact duplicate in the phrase filled with the Holy Ghost, same words, same meanings. Go study the Greek. Did you notice what tangible evidence was exhibited by Elizabeth? The answer is a resounding yes. She prophesied. This is the same initial evidence spoken of in Acts chapter 19 and verse 6. The moment she was filled with the Holy Ghost, she did not speak in tongues. Now read Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 69. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath, which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Once again we see the phrase filled with the Holy Ghost. And once again it is identical to the post-Pentecostal passages. The initial evidence here is the same as the one in Acts chapter 19 and verse 6. I want you to notice clearly that as soon as Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, he did not speak in tongues, but he did prophesy. We could also mention Mary the mother of Christ in the passage in Luke chapter 1 and verse 46, and Simeon in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, and even lesser formidable passages in the Old Testament. I can almost hear the objection. But these were prior to Pentecost and the infilling spoken of by Christ. The problem with this argument is this: we are talking about the one and only Holy Spirit in the earth, in humans. Apparently, the only real difference between now and then is that the Holy Spirit was not available to every believer back then, but only to certain ones chosen by Almighty God, and now His infilling is available to all believers. Anyone can look for themselves and see that the result was the same, only there is not a single mention of tongues. I am not saying by this that tongues are not valid. Tongues are a valid gift, as we have already discovered earlier on. I am saying and the scriptures are confirming that tongues are not the one and only initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let us examine the five passages available to us in Acts. As best as I can tell, the Holy Bible gives us five examples of people being filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts. There is that great passage in Acts chapter 2 concerning the day of Pentecost. We also have mentioned in Acts chapters 4, 8, 10, and 19. In Acts chapter 2 they spoke with the tongues of many nations. It was quite an awesome event. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31 the only manifestation mentioned was that they spoke the word of Almighty God with boldness. In Acts chapter 8, verses 15 to 17 we find people being filled with the Holy Spirit, with absolutely no mention of what the manifestation was. In Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 48 we find that being filled with the Holy Spirit was accompanied with two initial evidences, the first being tongues, and the second being magnifying Almighty God. In Acts chapter 19, verses 2 to 6 we find that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, two initial evidences accompanied them, the first being tongues, and the second prophesying. Two out of five passages make no mention of tongues, though the word speaks clearly of them being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the two passages that make no mention of tongues are present in these scriptures, we cannot possibly honestly conclude that everyone who is filled with the Spirit will have the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. It is not objective to say so, it is stretching and forcing the scriptures to support our doctrine. Someone might say, they may have spoken in tongues at these two times as well, without having made mention of the fact. That is truly a possibility. It is also possible that many other things took place, however, it is not right to make a doctrine out of what might have been. Some folks seem to believe that the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit will be just like it was at Pentecost. If this were true, then there would always be the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Furthermore, there would be cloven tongues like as of fire sitting on the persons being filled with the Holy Spirit. This rarely happens, if ever. Whoever would insist that there has to be an initial evidence of tongues must also insist on the sound as of a rushing mighty wind along with the cloven tongues like as of fire sitting on the ones being filled, but you pretty much never hear of such a thing. We are not free to pick and choose things like these to suit ourselves. I submit to you that the Holy Spirit is completely free to fill anyone any way He chooses, regardless of how He did it at Pentecost or any other time, and there is no evidence in the Scriptures to the contrary. In fact, the Holy Bible says in the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 8 these words, "The wind blows where it is so inclined, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell from where it comes and where it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." This passage demonstrates the unpredictability of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be certain how the Holy Spirit will choose to handle a matter, and it is quite presumptuous to believe that we have the Holy Spirit all figured out. I have learned by experience that Almighty God seems to delight in doing things in an unexpected way. If you say it will be a certain way, most likely the Holy Spirit will choose to do it differently just to show once again that Almighty God alone is sovereign. We cannot possibly conclude that the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, with two out of five passages contradicting that theory, and it is only a theory without proof. If we use percentages on these passages, we would assume that with three out of five passages making mention of tongues, we would have a manifestation of tongues when being filled with the Holy Spirit about 60% of the time. It would only be an assumption though. If we went one step further, we could say that it is possible in Acts chapter 10 and in Acts chapter 19 that some of the people were manifesting the Holy Spirit only with prophesying, some of them only with magnifying Almighty God, and some only with tongues. It would not violate the scriptures in the least to believe this. So we would need to drop our percentage back to 50% or even less. Then taking into account the two or more passages concerning Elizabeth and Zacharias, we would be down to around 33%. The point is unavoidable. We cannot assert that the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Remember the principle given earlier? Any doctrine of men that fails to take into account even one single relevant passage of Scripture is at the best incomplete, and at the worst is heresy. The doctrine that teaches that the initial evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues has unquestionably neglected several relevant passages. So this doctrine is either incomplete or is heresy. The leaders of such a denomination must adjust their doctrine on this matter to satisfy these relevant passages that call into question the accuracy of said doctrine, or else provide conclusive evidence with other scriptures. But we have already provided sufficient evidence to show the doctrine is in error. Remember, the Holy Bible does not contradict itself, and we have clearly demonstrated that speaking in tongues does not always take place when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. There are several passages of people being filled with the Holy Spirit, and no mention of tongues whatsoever. There is another very important passage that we must consider here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 28 we find these words, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." Are all apostles? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. It does not get any clearer than this. The point obviously being made is that the Almighty gives each person however He chooses, and everyone does not get the same gifts, including the gift of tongues. Some receive this gift and some do not. Interestingly enough, both of these groups of denominations go to the extreme. One group goes way too far with the right and good thing, and the other group, seeing the abuse, throws the baby out with the bath water. One group demands tongues with no controls, and the other forbids tongues at all times. One group acts like they have the Holy Spirit because they speak with tongues, and carelessly imply that the believers who do not speak with tongues have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. The other group feels like they are being looked down upon as somehow inferior because they do not have the gift of tongues. It is little wonder why we segregate the way we do. The United States government has done a better job with desegregation than has the church. How very shameful. These things ought not to be. We are needlessly driving wedges between our brothers and sisters in Christ and breaking the law of love in order to preserve the proud traditions of men. We have established evidence to the fact that some who have been filled with the Holy Spirit do speak with tongues, and some who have been filled with the Holy Spirit do not speak with tongues. It is completely up to the Holy Spirit. We do not have the liberty from Almighty God to tear any portion of Scripture out of our Bibles. We must employ all the Scriptures in establishing sound doctrine, and anything less will result in half-truth doctrines that are traditions of men, and that unmercifully divides Christ's church. I, for one, am done with these divisions, and it is high time that we, the church, rise up and throw off these chains of bondage. We do not have to compromise anything in order to do this. It is simply a matter of brothers and sisters, who are filled with the love of Christ, to in a long-suffering manner take the time to search the Scriptures together objectively and humbly for the truth. When a brother or sister finds new light in the Scriptures on a subject, we must carefully examine our doctrines, making sure that they do not conflict with the new light. If they do conflict, then we must adjust accordingly.